This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability in the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, first of all, apologies if you were tuning in to hear about plastic pollution in soils. Certainly haven't forgotten about that. We will hear about it, but I thought that you'd want to hear this week about what sounds like a really interesting survey that could lead to some useful and positive action to help us reduce greenhouse gas emissions from our homes. Now, many of us want to make our homes more energy efficient, but we aren't sure where to start. Well, if that's you, then Hertfordshire Climate Change and Sustainability Partnership want to help. But first, they need you to help them with their survey. To find out more, I spoke to Helen Burridge, Project Officer with Hertfordshire Climate Change and Sustainability Partnership. Helen, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. So just to get us started, could you explain who the Hertfordshire Climate Change and Sustainability Partnership are?
Hi there, Amanda. Thank you for having us. The HCCSP, as we are very pithily called, is a partnership organisation of the County Council, the 10 District and Borough Councils and the Local Enterprise Partnership. And we work together to make sure that we are aligning our resources and our strategies and just making sure that all of the different local authorities are able to work as best they can with the resources that they have to improve the sustainability and climate action of the work.
Okay, so you're asking us to complete a questionnaire. Why are you doing this? What do you hope to get from it?
So HCCSP has six different strategic action plans looking at carbon reduction, biodiversity, transport, water, adaptation and behaviour change. Now, one of the biggest emitters of carbon in the county and across the UK is the built environment. Now, districts and boroughs are aware that there are, of course, many buildings that are owned and managed by councils, but the vast majority are owned and managed by residents and or by businesses. So we're trying to get an understanding of what support individuals might need. We need these over 500 residential buildings to be retrofitted, to be more energy efficient, to be more comfortable to live in, and to save people money on their bills as well in order to meet our carbon deadlines of 2050. Unfortunately, people aren't doing this at the pace that we need. Even though, as I said, it will reduce their bills, it'll make their homes far more warm and efficient to run, as well as reduce their carbon emissions. So we want to understand what businesses and individuals need from local authorities and what's stopping them from getting on and making their houses better.
Okay, so this is things like it might be money, for example, it might be I just don't know where to start, it might be I don't know who to ask to do the work, even though I might know what it is. This kind of thing. Is this what you're asking about?
Exactly. Home retrofit is ultimately incredibly complicated. Unfortunately, it's also not particularly sexy. Obviously, like doing up your loft, doing up your kitchen or your bathroom, home retrofit is insulation, it's solar panels, it's making your home warmer and more energy efficient to run. It might include things like replacing doors and windows, energy efficient light bulbs, even going so far as replacing boilers or how you heat the water and the building. Because there are so many different factors to it, it's not a very easy rubber stamp to get it done. There could be multiple different contractors. There could be multiple different interruptions where somebody might think that their front room looks perfectly lovely. Why on earth would I rip out the walls to re-insulate it, rip up the floor to re-insulate? But the changes that that will make in the long term pay dividends. For that reason, a lot of people are telling us that they either don't know where to start, they don't know who to ask, they don't know which things they should be doing first to make the most impact. Unfortunately, something which is relatively straightforward, like maybe a solar panel installation, if your home is hemorrhaging heat out of gaps in windows and old doors, actually, it's akin to putting a radiator on a sieve. And so, in fact, trying to get the right order of all the different interventions, it can be incredibly complicated and overwhelming. And what we're trying to do is unpick the different barriers that people feel to understand what we can do to help.
Okay. Well, obviously, you told us there about some of the barriers, some of the difficulties. Could you just outline a couple of the things that you might be able to do to help us, the kind of things you're choosing between?
So the most simple barrier that we're understanding is just simply knowledge. What are the different things out there that I can do? As you walk down the street, there are actually really only a limited number of types of houses. These are called archetypes. And so is your house a 1930s semi? Is it a 1950s bungalow? These kinds of houses exist on all of our roads and high streets. And so actually, you can advise people based on the kind of house they have about the kind of thing that might be able to be possible. So we could be providing information on a Hertfordshire basis, looking at the kinds of houses built in Hertfordshire. To go a little bit beyond that, we could be providing potentially some kind of concierge or handholding service, whereby in the same way that you might get a project manager to renovate your house, can we help provide that service and give you that reassurance? Is there anything to do with trusted traders or streamlining contractors and helping navigate that process? And then the element as well around funding, how big a hurdle is finance? And given that the average comprehensive retrofit can be upwards of £30,000, although there are many things that can be done that are much cheaper, is that a huge barrier? Is that actually a payment plan barrier, whereas you don't have £30,000 now, but you might have £5,000 a year for the next 6 years? So it's just trying to work out what those different barriers might look like and how we can help navigate them.
Okay, well, do you know, that sounds like lots of things that I think would be particularly helpful. But we do hear how cash-strapped local authorities are at the moment. I'm assuming that all of the councils who are in partnership to provide your role, that they're funding you. Are you really going to be able to do this with the councils in the financial state that they are at the moment?
Of course, everybody is struggling financially at the moment. The cost of living crisis is making people's energy bills worse than ever, and councils are not immune to the challenges that we see in the papers every day. Having said that, there is nothing new under the sun, and there are councils across the country that have demonstrated the feasibility and the effectiveness of these kinds of interventions. What we have discovered from the survey that we've put out and the responses we've received so far is that people are much more likely to trust their local authority than any national information or support. And so on this matter, and from the responses that we've received so far. So it might be that although a lot of information is available on retrofit, even just trying to sift through the internet is overwhelming. And if something is provided at a local level at relatively low cost because the information's already out there, then that could help people. We've also demonstrated through Solar Together that through a relatively small outlay, posting letters to houses that would be able to have solar panels, that we've leveraged over £12 million of resident investment in solar panels, which wouldn't have happened without that little nudge. And so actually, the way that these schemes can be managed can mean that for a relatively low contribution from local authorities, the general public can be mobilised and supported to create that investment and that home improvement themselves.
Okay, so thinking about this questionnaire, how long will it take us? Do we need to go armed with things like energy bills sometimes required for this sort of thing?
So the questionnaire is based on a survey that was delivered in Hampshire last year, and it is incredibly straightforward. We don't need any of your data. We don't need any of your personal details. It is literally a finger in the air chat, if you like, with you as if you were walking down your local high street. What kind of house do you live in? What kinds of things have you thought about doing? Have you thought about solar panels? Have you thought about wall insulation? We have more technical surveys on a region-wide basis for the southeast of England, for example, that have been done to look at the skills agenda and for other documents, but we've not got a particular segment of Hertfordshire residents who are homeowners. Obviously, there are many other opportunities for different audiences who live in flats or who rent their houses. This survey is particularly for homeowners. And hopefully it will take no more than about 10 minutes. And it's just asking you what kinds of things you've thought about doing to your house, when you might do it, and what stopped you doing it so far.
Okay, nice and easy then. And where can we find the link? I assume it's online to do the survey. And most importantly, when do we need to do it by?
So the survey is being distributed by each of the district and borough councils. It's available on the footer of this podcast, and we would ideally like responses by about the 11th of February. Like I said, we're collating evidence in order to build a business case for which of those interventions might be most useful. And then we'll use that information and feedback to collaborate into a response to support Hertfordshire residents. The great thing about HCCSP is that although each of these interventions could be delivered by individual councils, working together obviously will make much more efficiencies and much better savings for the local authorities, and also an easier message for residents to understand.
Indeed. Well, Helen, thank you so much for telling us about that. I really look forward to hearing what the results of your survey are.
Thank you so much, Amanda. See you soon.
I was talking there to Helen Burridge, Project Officer with the Hertfordshire Climate Change and Sustainability Partnership. And I'll put the link to the survey into the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. Now, there's been another development in the world of help with home energy saving in the form of HUG2, the Home Upgrade Grant Phase 2. It's a new government grant scheme to fund energy saving upgrades for residents with off-grid gas heating systems who are most likely to be impacted by the high cost of energy bills. So if your home was cold last winter and you struggled to pay your bills, well, you might be eligible for a grant for works to help you to use less energy, reduce your carbon footprint, and spend less on your energy bills. So who's eligible for HUG 2? Well, you can be a homeowner or a private tenant, but as I said, your home will need to be off the gas grid. So it might currently be heated by oil or gas or liquid petroleum gas or, well, electric heating. As with many other grants, your income must be below a certain level. In this case, your household must have a combined annual income of less than £31,000 or be receiving certain income-related means-tested benefits such as universal credit, or you have to live in an index of multiple deprivation area. And then finally, your home must currently be hard to heat, and that will be based on your Home Energy Performance Certificate, your EPC. You're probably thinking, what's that? I haven't got one. Don't worry, you will be helped with this part of the assessment, and you'll get a free EPC assessment if you haven't got one already. Now, the kind of thing that you might be able to get help with under HUG 2 are things like insulation, air source heat pumps, better controls for your heating, solar panels, even energy efficient light bulbs. So all the kind of things that are going to really help you cut your bills and your carbon emissions. And to apply, just search online for Home Upgrade Grant Phase 2, or you can phone the Energy Saving Trust on 0808 1968 255. Again, I'll make sure that goes in the notes that accompany the podcast of this show. So news now on a new initiative to cut down on waste. The Inn on the Park, the lovely cafe nestled in the heart of Verulamium Park in St Albans, is trialling a new way of cutting down on disposable coffee cups. Rather than give you a disposable cup to take away, they'll give you a real cup that you can either use at home when you've finished with it or bring back on your next visit. Well, good luck to them, and I'll be interested to hear how their trial goes. And how about if you like to have a chat about sustainability or the planet? Well, you'll be excited to hear that People Planet Pint is coming to St Albans. It's all about the opportunity to have conversations and build networks around sustainability. It's about local connections and collaborations for local impact. It's just a really informal get-together. There's no agenda, no speakers, and anyone in St Albans can come together. And if you want to give it a try, then the first St Albans People Planet Pint is going to be on the 13th of February at 7:30 in the evening at the Hub on Verulamium in St Albans. You'll have to book, but it's free. Again, check out the notes that accompany the podcast of this show for the booking link. So whether you're already involved in sustainability or just curious to learn more, just go along. And in case you're wondering, if people plan, I can't say it, can I? People Planet Pint has already done much good work, then it's connected over 10,000 people across 10 countries, driving positive conversations and actions for the greater good. Well, that sounds worth a try, doesn't it? And finally, whilst Christmas seems a distant memory, I just wanted to bring you news about how your old Christmas tree has raised £34,000 for the Hospice of St. Francis. In its seventh and most successful year to date, St. Albans Council, along with its environmental partner Veolia, volunteers from the local community and businesses, and of course people like you who wanted to make sure that their real Christmas trees were recycled, all helped in the collection of 2,000 Christmas trees and the raising of £34,000 in donations. Now, once collected by the volunteers, the Christmas trees were all brought to a depot in Ronsons Way in St Albans, run on behalf of St Albans District Council by Veolia, who then sent the Christmas trees for recycling. And that was about 11 tons of Christmas trees that were sent to be turned into valuable compost. And in case you're wondering whether the funds raised from the Christmas tree recycling over the last 7 years has really helped the hospice, well, Hannah Greenshields, community fundraiser at the Hospice of St. Francis, says, in total, our collection has raised a whopping £146,000 in that time. That's enough to help fund our community nursing team for 5 months. So thank you so much for your continued support. Well, a huge well done, I think, to everyone involved. Now, I always love to hear from you. Have your recycling efforts raised money for charity? Or what do you think of disposable coffee cups being replaced by mugs? Or what would it take for you to give your home an energy efficiency makeover? Well, you can get in touch and tell me. I'm on email at amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix926 on Twitter and on Facebook. I'm going to be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.